the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station. Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're very welcome along. We've got a good show for you this evening as the International Olympic Committee continue to hum and haw and refuse to accept the inevitable. We will check in with Ciara McGeehan over in Manchester and see how her preparations for the Olympics are going, if they're still continuing. On Monday Night Rugby, a feature interview with Simon Zeebo in his second year now at Racing. Like all of us, life is on hold for him, but we'll chat to Zeebo after 8 o'clock. And as usual, Pat Nevin with us on a Monday on the football show after 9. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. It's Joe Malloy here in studio. Richie McCormack is in his gaff. Hello.
How are you, Joe?
How you doing?
I'm not too bad. As the days go on, I'm expecting more and more for the door to my right to burst open and for somebody to arrive in crying about somebody hitting somebody over the head. I figure that moment is coming. I just hope it doesn't come on your tenure, Joe. I'm not sure how much you can handle it.
We look forward to it, Richie, greatly.
It's going to be a good one.
To watch you lose your temper with your children will indeed be a fine moment.
I won't lose my temper so much as quickly throw something at them to get them dispatched out of the room. Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing?
It's acceptable.
Okay, thanks.
Nathan Murphy also with us. Hello.
How's it going? Good evening.
Who would never lose his temper at his children, of course.
No, certainly not. Everybody has to weigh up what you do now if the child arrives in. I think you have to embrace them and be that loving parent, but secretly inside you're like, get the hell out that door. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My kids haven't actually braved coming in. They just open the door slightly, look in to see what's going on, but for some reason they won't take that giant step. Mm. Thankfully.
They wouldn't dare. How goes homeschooling?
Oof. I'd be lying if I was to say I was the homeschooler, considering my wife is a teacher. Mm-hmm. She is very much on top of this. She's very organized, and the teachers in the school, what they're putting together is insane in terms of how much effort they're putting into their schoolwork every day. Because, listen, I know they're working from home, but a lot of those teachers also have two or three children running around the place, and they're trying to make things as normal as possible. They're sending video messages every morning to the children, so there's a little bit of familiarity around that. Like my eldest lad's in second class, so he's got about 3-4 hours work to do, like solid, every single day. You forget what they actually do in school. There'll obviously be a huge appreciation for anybody who works in the medical profession. I think there'll be a bit of appreciation for what teachers do as well by the end of this.
Yeah. And again, slightly off topic, and we'll get on to sport in just a moment. Is there a sense that all the kids will, your son in second class, will he be in third class next year? Everybody's going to move on with their lives, are they?
You would have to assume so. Like, they've completed 3/4 of the year already. Mm. Now, maybe they do need to come up with some sort of a slightly different curriculum, so that, because again, everybody's in a totally different situation. So we're fortunate that my wife is here, and while it's busy, she can keep them sort of ticking over. Whereas lots of people might have, well, two people working on the front line, and they're relying on somebody to mind the kids who might be minding other kids, and they get an hour, 2 hours in the evening to try and rush through some schoolwork. So I think that'll have to be considered, definitely, because there's an awful lot of children who can't just sit down at their kitchen table for 3-4 hours every day and do the work they need to do. There's other factors at play. So, yeah, how they work that out, I'd imagine they can't stall and make pupils repeat a year.
Mm. But, yeah, because you've got pupils coming in at the back end then in junior infants and stuff that can't be stalled, etc. So you can't have like 6- and 7-year-olds then starting into junior infants because everything else has been put on hold.
Yeah. One of the many, 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 many complicated questions hanging over the world right now. So with a view to getting into the news round, we're going to talk to Ciara McGeehan at 7:30. She's based over in Manchester these days. She's been there since about November 2017, training with the New Balance team. And I'm presuming, Richie, despite the IOC trying to bury their heads in the sand, Ciara McGeehan and the rest of them will not be preparing for an Olympic Games this year.
No, it's not going to happen this year. The Olympic Federation of Ireland are actually being one of the more wait-and-see bodies. They say they'll canvass its various member associations and athletes before deciding on its participation at Tokyo 2020. Norway today joined Canada in calling for the Games themselves to be postponed. Australian athletes have already been told to prepare for a summer 2021 Games. The IOC, as we know, have given themselves a 4-week window on a decision, but are adamant that the Games themselves will not be cancelled outright. But the IOC's longest-serving board member, Dick Pound broke ranks this evening. He told USA Today, we will postpone this and begin to deal with all the ramifications of moving this, which are immense. Irish boxer Kelly Harrington, she'd be considered very much a medal contender in Tokyo. She spoke to this morning's OTBAM and feels the games should be postponed.
I hope it does get postponed. Like, athletes come first, people come first. And, like, I mean, there's no point in going out and going to the Olympics and having no one to celebrate it, you know, like, and coming back and being brown bread then a few weeks later because you're at the catching a virus out there.
Yeah, pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Once the Australians pulled their athletes today, and Canada as well, and Norway, I mean, once athletes start being withdrawn from the games, then it's game over, really. Dick Pound breaking ranks and saying that to USA Today is not surprising. I think they might just be best served by coming out straight away officially and saying, look, we acknowledge this is not going to go ahead, because it's very difficult for athletes who are half preparing still and not sure what's happening when it's just inevitable this thing will be postponed. Because there was talk of them, Richie, even saying they were going to take a month to figure out logistics or what might happen or what the final decision would be.
See, is going to take a month on this to basically, I think in their heads, as Dick Pound mentions, they've already decided to postpone it. There is a lot involved in getting an Olympic Games to a city. There's obviously a lot involved 3 months, 4 months out from getting an Olympic Games kept in a city but moved forward by a year. So they're going to have to work with the logistics of that for the next while. I think it was actually USA Swimming who got the ball rolling on this officially on Friday night. They were the first ones who are a major body saying that, listen, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to be sending our athletes to these Olympic Games. And USA Swimming, when you factor in the NBC link into this, NBC paid $7.5 billion for rights to the Olympic Games up until 2032. If they don't have US athletes performing well in sports at the Olympics, NBC are going to invest in the Olympic Games and will look for a payback.
Ooh, sorry, we just lost you there, but we take the point. The other thing, Nathan, is that they're still going through with the charade of handing over the torch. And I just saw in the news last night, big crowds in Japan turned up to see the Olympic torch. And I thought, good God.
Well, maybe it leads into maybe some shock in that part of the world as to just how quickly and how severely this virus has escalated around the rest of the world, because this was very much a Chinese thing, it felt, for quite a while, and we all looked at it from afar, whereas I think every projection and everything you see is that, well, like, the amount of cases and how quickly and how rapidly it's increasing, I don't think anyone could quite believe it. So maybe the International Olympic Committee are playing a little bit of catch-up, but as Richie touched upon, like, the logistics of the biggest sporting event in the world, there's probably a good reason it's only on every 4 years. They probably wanted to give themselves that month and come out at the end of the month and say, here is a definitive nailed down plan of what's going to happen. But I just don't think that was fair on the athletes have to continue.
I totally agree. And nobody expects them to have a definitive plan just yet. They're allowed to come out and say, listen, athletes, it's not going to happen this year. So you can tailor your training accordingly. So I presume that will have to happen very, very soon. Now, queuing up for to see the Olympic torch is one thing. Queuing up in Hoth for a bag of chips, quite another, Nathan. Let's knock that one on the head. I mean, I'm sure the chips are lovely, but they can't be that lovely.
I just don't get it. I you look at the pictures of the weekend, you'd swear there has never been a sunny Sunday afternoon. The entire country has decided that when we've been advised to stay away from each other, this is the time where we should all get out of the house at the exact same time.
Yeah.
I think the queuing in Holt is nonsensical. Mm. Firstly, queuing for an hour for a bag of chips in the current crisis, a meter and a half. Was everybody a full 2 meters? I'm not quite sure. Yeah. Like, it's insanity.
Yeah.
You have a bit of sympathy with the people who decided to go to the beach or to go to a park because you need to get out of the house.
Yes.
Unfortunately, everybody went to the same beaches and the same parks. But you need a bit of cop on and just turn around and go the hell home.
You do. I have to say, in the main, what I'm observing around me is pretty good. Streets are largely empty. Shops, social distancing is reasonably good. Physical distancing, it's being called now. You can still be social. There was a great shot of two builders sitting 2 meters apart outside Bank of Ireland enjoying their lunch. And they had literally the 2 meters marked out. But I would say, in the main, aside from the examples which gain huge traction on social media because everybody is so fraught at the moment, I think generally we're not doing a bad job. And before you text in a ton of examples of what you're seeing, I'm not saying that those aren't happening. I'm just saying, in the main, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah,
Go on, Richie.
No. Yesterday I went out for a walk with the lads and I just turned to one and said, do you know what? This is what a Sunday used to be like when I was your age, in that there was like there wasn't a sinner. There was barely a car on the roads, and there wasn't anybody meeting us on the paths, 100 yards either side. Like, it actually was pretty dead, and it's an area that would be, you know, fairly busy. There's a shopping centre quite close to us, and even that wasn't as busy as I anticipated being. People in the main are kind of getting this. It's just the outliers, like, queuing for chips and hopes. They're going for walks up in Glendalough that seem to be causing the most.
Yeah. Nathan, you were going to say?
Do you think we'll ever shake hands again?
I was just, I was saying to somebody the other day, this will scar us, you know. There is no question psychologically, and the generation of 1929 were a very frugal generation after that, despite the roaring 20s in the main. And I guarantee you, in 30 years' time or 35 years' time, younger people will be saying of us, have you noticed the way Granny and Grandad washed their hands for ages? What's that about? Guaranteed. Well, I will never shake that habit now, and they will literally be saying that. And I would hate to think we won't go back to shaking hands and even hugging. Like, my group of mates, for whatever reason, we're a bunch of huggers when we all get together. And I fully intend on getting back to that, but the washing the hands thing might stick. But no, I totally agree. There's going to be some unforeseen psychological hang-ups for all of us going forward for decades to come.
I think there's going to be, and again, it's too early to be talking about positives, but I think there will be a change, a radical change in a lot of people's lifestyle, because we're only, 10 days properly into this, but the amount of people who, it turns out, can work from home and work just fine from home and don't need to spend an hour or an hour and a half commuting every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to see why those people would go back to the day-to-day office job.
I know, I think it's a funny thing, because this was probably the future we all envisioned when the internet really became very reliable, and just the way we did everything was that this would be how life would be. We would all work from home, and yet you look across the Dublin skyline and it's full of cranes building offices, and now you wonder if inadvertently we're having this mass experiment to see if, you know, we can do without the offices. I think I was reading lots of bits and bobs at the moment. I think it was Fintan O'Toole making the point that we have students flying into the likes of Trinity from all around the world, paying huge money to do the college courses. They're probably all gone home now, continuing their college courses. And at a certain point, they might all say, well, hang on, why am I flying over to Dublin, paying huge rent and doing the same course when it's much cheaper to do it that way? So that's such a fascinating question. And I'm not sure what the answer will be. I do find increasingly, I have gone from thinking before any of this mess, God, it would be great to work from home more, you know, to spend more time at home, to, you know, as you said, the lack of commute, or just, you know, less time in the office. And I must say, 10 days in, sign me up for that office. I miss more than I thought I would. The curmudgeon that I am, Nathan, I sit beside you. I miss being able to turn to you and have a chat about nothing very important, or Richie doing impersonations all day. I actually miss the vibe of the office more than I ever thought.
I knew this day would come. God damn it.
Yeah.
You haven't said you miss me. Nathan, you haven't said you miss me.
This has really rammed home the divide between those with kids and without kids. Because now I can't imagine having a normal conversation for an extended period of time that doesn't involve some shouting outside and going, oh my God, I'm going to have to deal with this in a moment. Funnily enough, one of the few bright sparks in this house is my 18-year-old. I have never seen her happier, or she has never been better in her entire life. She sleeps brilliantly. She literally has a permanent smile on her face. It's like, having her family around all the time and not going off to work for the entire week, maybe she's enjoying this thing.
Freudian slip there. You said 18-year-old. 18-year-old, Nathan. You've got 18. You've got about 16 more years.
18-month-old.
You were nearly there. There's a text in, lads, if there's one upshot to all of this, it's that my phone has never been cleaner, says Mark. Well, indeed. I mean, I know for a fact I'm destroying the touch part of my phone with all the anti-back on it, but it has to be done. My wife and I work in the Coombe Hospital. We're worried about school, but for the moment we are winging it. Hopefully it works out. I'm on nights, she's on days. We have no grandparents or babysitters. Well, look, in that instance, I would not worry about the kids' education whatsoever. They will be fine. This is a couple of months, and I think winging it is just fine, and you two deserve to wing it all you want. Garrett says, if Kelly Harrington has to box the head off every Egypt out there not sticking to social distancing rules, she'll have no knuckles left. So Garrett's obviously seen a fair bit of it going on. I think we're doing okay. Look, it's happening everywhere. Even in Italy, where things are still nuts, on social media, there's videos of the mayors of the local towns going around and physically threatening people who are still out on the streets. So if you're still out hanging around the streets in Italy, then I think we're still, at this point, going to have a few people who are out and about. Right, we've got to keep things moving. So, official word on Champions League?
Yeah, UEFA officially postponed this season's Champions League and Europa League finals this evening, and the Women's Champions League final as well. No decision's been made on their potential rescheduling. This season's Champions League final was set for Istanbul on May 30th. The Europa League final was supposed to be 3 days prior in Gdansk, and the Women's Champions League decider was to be held in Vienna on May the 24th. La Liga has been suspended indefinitely because of the coronavirus pandemic. Spanish President Pedro Sanchez extended the country's state of alarm until the middle of April last night. The Spanish Football Federation say football won't return until the relevant authorities and the Spanish government consider it will come at no risk to health. Sticking with Spaniards, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says he feels fully recovered from COVID-19. The 37-year-old announced his diagnosis on March 12th, which led to the suspension of the Premier League the following day. Meanwhile, Arsenal say they'll continue to pay their casual match day staff during the suspension of football in England, which at the moment runs up until April 30th. A number of Irish players are to return home after the Australian rules season was suspended indefinitely. Tyrone's Conor McKenna, Derry's Anton Tohill and Cork's Mark Kane are all homeward bound after the AFL and the clubs agreed 50% pay cuts. Round one games took place behind closed doors at the weekend, but the decision's been made to halt the season. Dublin pair Sinead Goldrick and Niamh McAvoy have also travelled home ahead of potential travel restrictions after the AFLW cancelled the final two games of their regular season.
Tony in Knocknacarra says the best outcome of this pandemic is no hugging. Sweet Jesus, is there anything more annoying than all the unnecessary hugging? I really hope that never returns, but shaking hands does. I am going to make a bet now, Nathan, that our producer JP made up that text to get his own agenda on the airwaves. I've never seen a more classic JP text in all my time. Who hates hugging that much?
Or just general civility is what JP's against. Having to see other people. Like, never have I seen a man as happier to walk into an office and there only be four people there.
Honestly, I've never seen him in better form. He loves social isolation of all in all its formats. He's delighted. He's out there having a great time. None to talk to anyone. Bohemians are the latest Electricity League Premier Division side to come forth with their plans, and they're better than others, which is good.
Yeah, they're bucking the trend, it seems. Bohemians say they're planning to honour the contracts of players and staff despite the suspension of football activity in Ireland. Cork City and Sligo Rovers have both reluctantly had to suspend payments to staff in recent days as the financial pressures of the coronavirus begin to mount. Drogheda in the same boat as well. There are plans to restart the league in mid-June, with Bohs saying they will honour contracts, though the situation will be kept under continuous review. Tyson Fury, he is likely to escape punishment from UK anti-doping should a case against him be reopened. It's been reported that the WBC heavyweight world champion formally relinquished his British Boxing Board of Control licence prior to his victory over Deontay Wilder in February. Fury, along with his cousin Huey, tested positive for nandrolone in 2015 after claiming they ate uncastrated wild boar. The farmer who provided testimony has since recanted, saying he was offered £25,000 to lie on the Fury's behalf, and he added he never had boar on his farm. Fury is now unlicensed in the UK, meaning UKAT would have little or no impact should a ban from them be forthcoming.
Right. This blew up Sunday week ago in the Daily Mail. They had the exclusive. They interviewed the farmer who said that he was offered 25 grand to... Oh, someone's kid's coming.
Nathan's 18-year-old.
Yeah. Back the first time we've met each other in 18 years. Yeah. What a surprise. Wash your hands. No hugging.
Where was I? Oh, yes, Tyson Fury. Yes, farmer came forward with the Daily Mail, said actually they offered, you know, not Fury directly, but somebody in his camp offered me money to say I had given them uncastrated wild boar, which was not true. And so UKAD are investigating this. They've been in touch with the Fury camp, or certainly with the Fury lawyers, as of yesterday, and all the pieces in the paper on it, there was no reply from the Fury camp. But even in the midst of a global pandemic, I don't think that Tyson Fury, Nathan, can hope to sweep this under the carpet without a very full and frank response to the allegations, to say the least.
No, I think he's been probably quite fortunate that it did happen in the middle of this crisis, so probably hasn't got the attention so far that it would have. Yeah. But at some stage, there's going to be, well, there's plan on being a rematch when all of this blows over. And he's going to have to answer the questions. The fact that UCAD can't investigate, does that mean he can somehow keep quiet and stay in America and not answer these questions? Yeah. I don't think so. I think there's enough there that he has to come out and try and explain this situation, because he was on the verge after that fight of becoming one of, if not the biggest stars in world sport.
Yeah.
Right now. So to have this hanging over him, he's going to have to answer some questions.
There's a couple of strands to it. UCAD were actually fairly reluctant to say the case in the first place. They thought it was going to break them because they felt they were on shaky ground. They didn't think that they could actually prove this beyond a reasonable doubt that he'd transgressed here and taken nandrolone through means that he says he didn't. On the other side of it, if he is going to pick up a ban, or if UCAD are going to punish him even though he's not licensed in the UK, there is a thought out there that because this is now 5 years ago, the appetite to see this pursued in the States just isn't there, and that money will actually see out in all of this, and he would have served that ban anyway, et cetera, et cetera. So why dig up old bones? I think this is going to be swept under the carpet in the long term, should anything have to be answered by Fury.
Well, the English media have definitely gotten hold of it now in a big way, and they're chasing it. So we'll see if that has any impact. Where are we going next? Racing continuing behind closed doors?
Yeah, it absolutely is. The Irish flat season got underway today at Naas. The Joseph O'Brien train Numerian pipped last year's Epsom Derby favourite Sir Dragonet to claim the Davoy Stakes there. O'Brien came away with a double, with favourite Russian Emperor winning the final race of the day. And Mike Vince was trackside for us today.
Chris Hayes completed a double in the feature with La Mista, winning the Park Express Stakes for trainer Jure Lyons, who also had the third even so in the race. While the chief support race, the Davoy Stakes, saw Sun beat father as Joseph O'Brien's Numerian under Declan McDonough beat Aidan O'Brien's Sir Dragonet, the hot favourite, under Shamie Heffernan. And one name to note for the future, two-year-old Poetic Flair winning the first race of the season for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning, and will surely be even better stepping up in trip.
There you go, that's my fence.
Yeah,
I feel like we're about 1 week away from Richie's news round being every single placing of every horse at the one race meeting taking place.
I'll be honest, Nathan, during my early bulletins today, the winners at Naas got a prominence that I don't think they would have been given in other circumstances today.
What sport is going on besides the Irish racing behind closed doors?
Do you know what I found out there is the other day? Did I tell you about this one when I was on the other night? Something called Soap League or Soap Football. One of the sites that streams football illicitly would have ordinarily every game up, whether it's being played in Iran, Australia or Canada or whatever. And John O'Sullivan used to be involved with Cork, posted up something called the Soap League, which was still ongoing. So at least they're clean. You know, you can guarantee
what is
okay.
It? Explain us.
I think it's like some kind of soapy football. It's like played in a massive pitch-sized or pitch-shaped slippy slide.
Sounds erotic.
A little bit.
I was just going to say.
Into that kind of thing, Joe.
Well, I mean, you're the one who's looking at it on what you said is an illicit website, so it's up to you.
Yeah. It sounds a
bit like mud wrestling, Richie.
Yeah, Richie, I don't know about that, to be honest. That doesn't float my boat at all. But whatever you're into.
If this thing gets another 3-4 months down the line, you could be welcome in the Soap League.
Indeed. A teacher has texted in to say, the most important thing the children will take out of the crisis is a memory of how their parents coped. It will influence how they mature into compassionate adults. So talk to them, listen to them, support, amuse, exercise, play board games, read to them, cherish them. Not everything is learned from school books. Yes, I take the point. Equally, don't beat yourself up. If you're not the world's greatest parent right now, you can't be perfect. It's very tough on everyone. So do your best. The kids will be fine. They will get through this one way or another. This hopefully will not shape them to any great degree, I would hope.
One of the things I've struggled with, and I don't know how you found it, Richie, is that obviously there's an awful lot of talk about box sets and what movies you should be watching and what books you should be reading, because everyone has all this time in their hands now to go and actually enjoy this. I'm like, I'm bloody shattered. Gets to 9:30 at night, kids are asleep. I'm like, I'm just going to bloody bed.
Yeah,
I still haven't finished Love is Blind.
How can you not? How do you not just park everything in your life right now and finish Love is Blind? What episode are you on?
I still have one episode to go.
And the reunion. Okay. So, sorry, you've got the best episode to come. You've got the actual weddings.
I don't know. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. I don't want to know who gets married.
No, I'm not going to tell you who gets married, but you're going to see who gets to the altar and what they say to each other.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the, like, I noticed a lot of stuff on Netflix, but it'll do well to top this.
I am surprised you're even on the news round tonight. How have you not phoned in with an excuse? Oh, no, I got something on. Sorry. Someone's kids are losing their mind. Is it yours, Murphy's? You're running, you need to run a tighter ship.
Yeah, maybe you hear it more than I can.
Yeah, no,
they're not going to make it through the news round.
I definitely hear noise.
JP has texted in again under the guise of Frank this time. I'm also in favour of the no new hugging rule. He's shaking his head out there as if it's not him. I'm also in favour of the no new hugging rule. He says, I agree with this though. I agree with this. We should also keep the better queue etiquette in shops. I'm all for that. And the lack of certain live sports which chew up time they don't deserve. I'm looking at you, Test Cricket and Formula One. Certainly the better etiquette in shops I'm all for, says, that's Frank, a.k.a. JP, who hates Huggins. Can you not hear your kids?
I can barely hear my kids.
We can
keep
hear
quiet
them.
Out there! Bloody hell, they just don't listen.
What's going on?
Can I just point out? No,
if the 18-year-old was there, it'd all be fine.
That's true.
Can I just point out, at the very start of this news round, Nathan was the one who said, no, I love my children. I never lose my temper with them. And he's the one who's shouting at the door saying, can you keep it down out there?
Well, look, they're pushing him. I've only been in his kid's company for 26 minutes and they're getting a my wick.
I've got the dog asleep behind me and she's fine. So, you know, it's grand.
What is dinner time in the Murphy household?
I think dinner time this evening was about 5:30, but now is baby going to bedtime.
Oh.
So the two lads may well have been left downstairs by themselves.
All right.
And they're making hay.
Hence your insistence to your better half, I've got to go up and do this news round. It just wouldn't be, just wouldn't work without me.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right, last couple of stories.
With apologies to Frank, the texter, the start of this season's Formula One campaign has been pushed back to mid-June at the earliest. The Azerbaijan Grand Prix became the latest race to be postponed as a result of the coronavirus. Baku City Circuit made the decision based entirely on the expert guidance provided by the relevant authorities. It means June 14th Canadian Grand Prix may be the first outing, but I wouldn't bet on it. Yeah. And Harlequins have become the latest premiership club in England to ask players and staff to take a 25% pay cut. They promised to look after their lowest earners during what they call turbulent, unnerving and challenging times. Chief Executive Laurie Dalrymple says the move has been made to protect jobs and the future of Harlequins.
That is the news around this evening. There is one last text in. Lads, what's the verdict on cutting your own hair? How hard can it be?
Well, easy.
Well, indeed. Indeed. Murphy, what's the plan? Are you letting that thing grow?
I don't know, but I... So my main reason for getting a cut in the last year has been that the longer it gets, the grayer it gets.
Ooh.
So... I'm a bit concerned.
You're hardly very.
3 months is fine. 3 months is fine.
You've a couple of grey hairs tops, I would think. No.
A couple, but the more hair, the more I see the grey hairs. But a bit of gel it'll be all right. Maybe. I think. What are you going to do? You're not on the telly. You're not going to be on the telly during this, so you'll be all right.
Now, if he was on the telly, it'd be better because you'd have somebody in there to do it for him, surely.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, we have no option but to let it grow. I mean, attempting to cut your own hair is, I would presume, a bad idea, no? I can try. I mean, if we need a radio slot out of it, then come at me. Yeah. I'll attempt it.
Loving my hair right now. So good. Can't wait to give it a little trim later on.
Low maintenance. Right.
Oh, yeah.
We are done. Nathan, you are back for the football show later on.
Yeah. Listen, my kids will be on their best behaviour.
Well, indeed.
All hell is about to break loose right now.
Yeah. Kids, dad's coming. Dad's coming. Leg it.
Stern Nathan
there.
Is about to arrive out there.
Richie, thank you. Compliments to your children. Cheers. Well-behaved, you. Well-disciplined.
Mind yourself, lads.
All right, come on.
Take it easy.
Richie McCormick there with your news round. We have Simon Zeebo on Monday Night Rugby after 8 o'clock. And up next, we have Kieran McGee.
The Off The Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio. Ireland's first and only sports radio station.